Well, we are back online with our cameras. We were down, both of our cameras had gone down, and they were repaired much more quickly than we thought they would be, and so we're up and going. So I want to say hello to all those who are watching us on the internet, and these messages, of course, go to 87 different nations of the world, so greetings to all of you. And from this little base here, we are reaching out to countless thousands of people, and of course, nearly 2 million people logged on to our website last year. And people are hearing the message, and we're getting letters all of the time, and faxes, and phone calls, and emails from people that are being helped. And some have come out of the Masonic Lodge, some have come out of witchcraft. I had a couple of 33rd degree Masons come out of the lodge. Can you imagine? 33rd degree! That's something. Of course, if you help somebody that's 33rd degree come out, there's a death sentence involved in that. So I got a death sentence a couple times over. But I'm not too worried about it. We're not worried about that inverted double-headed axe, are we? Praise the Lord. John back here was a Freemason, and the Lord brought him out of that. Isn't that great? Amen. So we're excited about a number of things, too. My son called, and his wife, our daughter-in-law, is in labor right now in the Fond du Lac St. Agnes Hospital, ready to deliver a child. And so we're waiting to hear on that. We know it's happening, we just don't know. You know how babies are. They kind of have a mind of their own that way. But so after the service, we're going to be trying to contact them again, and no doubt we'll be going over there sometime this afternoon. So anyway, we're very, very excited about that. Amen. And the Lord is doing marvelous and wonderful things. I've been getting phone calls from people. I mentioned this Wednesday night, and almost everybody that calls me says, "Are you still alive? How come you still have a job? We thought you'd be dead by now." And they're not entirely teasing. Some kind of, they'll say, "Well, we know the Lord's taking care of you." But they do ask about that. And I tell them, "Well, the Lord preserves us." Because they say the nature of the things you're talking about, the things that you present that's going all over the world, and aren't they going to get you? I really don't get into fear. I fear the Lord and honor and respect Him, and He's able to take care of us. But it's really something when you get one phone call after another like that. But I have something else I want to take a moment to read here. We get, as I said, letters all of the time. There is one inmate in a prison out in, I believe it's Idaho. And he has a life sentence in solitary confinement. Can you imagine that? And they don't let him read anything or have anything, but they do let him have the newsletter. That's a miracle. And he said that newsletter is the only thing that holds him together. And he waits for it every month. So we make sure he gets it. But a number of years ago, we were getting letters from prisons saying, "Your newsletter is contraband, because it contains information about a New World Order." So the state of Texas said, "Nobody here can get it." Well, that was changed. The inmates have demanded it so much that they're getting it. Now the federal government said, "We want all religious newsletters, tapes, everything out of the libraries, pull them off the shelves, no more." That's the Federal Bureau of Prisons. But we're getting these kind of letters. This is from the Chaplain Richard Adamatis at the Charlotte Correctional Institution in Punta Gorda, Florida. It's a short letter. He says, "Dear Last Trumpet Ministries, we appreciate the donations that you have made and continue to keep making to our inmates and to the chapel. You have always left such a great impression on our inmates. Your donations have made an impact on people's lives and have helped them in their religious learning and continuing their spiritual growth. To know that there are people out there willing to take a moment out of their day and think about the people that need help is such a blessing. We cherish all who are willing to put others first and make those who have little or nothing feel as they are loved and respected. The love shown through your donations has been noticed and greatly appreciated by those here at the Charlotte Correctional Institution. Thank you for all your efforts and kindness. We hope to continue in our spiritual growth and learning of God through you. Thank you again, and may God bless each and every one of you and your families. In his service, Richard Adameda, Senior Chaplain. So, we are getting a lot of letters like that. I can't read them all, of course. And other people who have come through some amazing things. And it's really a joy to know that the little that we can do here can bring people right to the very throne of God. Amen. So I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. Much more could be said. As far as how many letters come through, well, I get stacks of them about 12 inches high. I think about 500 letters a month across my desk. I try to answer as many of them as I can. And in one way or another, we do stay in contact with the people. We have thousands of prison inmates out there that we're helping. But in addition to that, there are countless thousands of others on the outside and just in every walk of life. So keep all of those efforts in prayer, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. There just isn't any time left for anything else but to work for God. Our lives must be completely filled with His Spirit. As the Bible says, break up your fallow ground. It's time to serve the Lord. The prophets have spoken of these things for thousands of years. And now we are at the very far end of that timeline. And just a little bit here, I'm going to begin preaching to you a message called From Eden to Armageddon. And we're going to, first of all, pray, and then we're going to sing a chorus, and then go into the Word of God. Amen. And by the way, this Sunday is our fellowship dinner downstairs, so we'd like you to stay if you can. But right now, we're going to have a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are so very thankful that we can be here today. Lord, Thou hast brought us through so much. And we know that in this life there is much trouble and much tribulation. And yet we know that through it all, Thou art the living God. Thou art the Savior. And Thou hast called us out of the darkness and out of the shadowy realms of this world and into Thy marvelous light. Now we pray, Lord, for this message, that Thou wouldst bring it forth to the glory of Thy name. Let Thy name, O Lord, be lifted up and praised, and let Thy people rejoice in the hope that Thou hast given them. Help all of us, O Lord, now to stand upon Thy promises. O Lord, let the devil be rebuked in Jesus' name. Let him be driven out. And all that would follow him, O Lord, let them come to repentance. I just pray, O God, that Thou wouldst bring forth Thy word and Thy power and help us to receive it. And, O Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Glory to God. All right. We are opening our Bibles this morning. We're going to sing a chorus in a moment, but we are going to be starting out in Revelation chapter 16. And I'll be reading verses 15 and 16, and we'll proceed from there. As you know, I don't use notes. I don't even know what's going to happen next. I just trust the Lord to lead us and help us. I've had other ministers say, how can you preach without notes? It takes us a week to put this all together. I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what I'm doing. I just yield to God and let Him take over. That's all I know to do. I know that sounds strange to those who deliver homilies, because they have to be carefully constructed so as not to offend anybody. Right? Don't get anybody mad at you. But you know, the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. I've got a lot of people that aren't speaking well of me. But frankly, I don't care. Because I know what God has called me to do. And the battle gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And so we all have to toughen up. And we will. The Lord is with us. Amen. Now, we're going to sing that chorus. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Now, you thought I was going to say, keep on walking by faith, didn't you? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Yes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Thank God. Amen, amen. Now we're not through. So as not to disappoint anybody, let's sing that chorus, "Keep on walking by faith." Amen. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. Well, we're going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. The book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was revealed to John, but it isn't really the revelation of St. John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. And we are going to begin in chapter 16, beginning with the 15th verse. I'm going to read 15 and 16. Then we're going to go back to Matthew, and then back to the book of Joel, and then back to Revelation 16 again. I think that's what we're going to do. I really can't say for sure, but that's where I have my markers. And all I get is just a little brief notice from the Lord here. Sometimes I have actually had it happen already where I thought I knew what I was going to preach about a little bit. And on the way up here, the three steps I have to take to get up here, He changed it on me. Now, how would you like that thrust on you? And talk about no prep. But you just, what you do, I don't know how to describe it. You just yield to God and let it flow and see what the Lord will bring forth. I know the Lord gave me this message this morning. As sure as I'm standing here, He really interrupted my life with it and just laid this on me very heavily. From Eden to Armageddon. And you know, I walked over by my parrot this morning on the way to the washroom. You know, you do have to shave in the morning and so forth. Anyway, I walked past he's got a big cage right by the big window in the front there. He loves that window. Got an African gray parrot. And I said, Professor, that's his name, of course. Professor, I said, the Lord's coming. And he looked at me and he said, trouble, 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 trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble for the people, dear Lord. Huh? I'm telling you, God uses that bird. And then he started saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He started worshiping the Lord. A bird! Where are the people? Come on. Trouble, 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 trouble. He kept saying, trouble, trouble, trouble for the people. Dear Lord. Does He know something some people don't? Animals, you know, talk about dumb animals. I don't know any dumb animals. I know a lot of dumb people. But I don't know one dumb animal. Not one. The birds have a song. You know, the cats have a little noise they make. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says that all these, and the dogs and all, they actually are giving glory to God in their own way that the Lord set it up. You see? They talk about animal instinct. That isn't instinct, that's the voice of God. Telling the swallows to fly to Capistrano. On a certain day, they depart. I heard one of the cutest stories one time. There was this, there was a crane, a bird, a crane, not a big metal thing, a crane. And it was going to fly south for the winter. And it had a broken wing. And they found it walking south over by South Beaver Dam. And took it and took it to the vet and fixed it up and so forth, took care of it. But the bird said, well, if I can't fly, I'll walk. Walking south. They know what to do, don't they? Before an earthquake happens, they know days in advance. Before the big San Francisco earthquake years ago, there's not one animal left in the city unless it was caged or tied up. Every squirrel, every bird, everything left. And then came the earthquake. Why? Because the Lord said, get out of here. There's trouble coming. And then my little parrot this morning, trouble, 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 trouble. He knows. So I told him a little story. I told him, we had to go to church. I said, someday maybe I'll bring you along. I said, but while I'm gone, work on your Bible verses. Because he does quote Bible verses. And yeah, you might say, well, African gray, they're smart birds. He's a little special. He's a little different than that. He's got a real touch of God on him. I'm convinced of it. I've seen too much. One time I told him, things are so rough, Professor. I had a bad day. Did you ever have a bad day? And he walked over to the window and he looked out the window and walked back to me. And he said, I told him it was terrible out there. He said, no good. And then he came over and he said to me, Professor, pray. Come on. Anyway, we are in Revelation 16, beginning with verse 15. I'm reading two verses here to start with. Behold, I come as a thief. Of course, that means unannounced. A thief doesn't send you a card telling you when he's going to arrive. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And of course, we are clothed upon with our salvation. Amen. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Armageddon, a word that so many people seem to have heard, but most people don't understand anything about what it means. Strangely enough, you will hear it once in a while out in the world that they know it's some great battle, some big trouble, but that's about all they know. You don't hear it much in churches. You know why? Because most churches today don't want to talk about Bible prophecy. They're too busy putting on a performance, too busy with the drums, too busy with the wild guitars and the displays, and they bring in the clowns and the magicians and the ventriloquists, and oh, what a wonderful show we've got for you today. But the church is supposed to be a place where we learn of God, fight spiritual battles, and overcome the troubles of this life, and get ready for His coming. The Lord's not coming back to watch your puppet show, or your little performance to put on. He's not coming to hear your drums and all this kind of thing. You know, I'll tell you what, you know what I'm talking about, all those rock, wild, rock stuff going on. But people seem to have such a zero attention anymore, attention span for the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, we have the power of the Word right before us. And if we will respond to it, the Spirit of God will come down and He will lead you. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, these churches, if they would just, we understand it's the time we're living in. And then, of course, this year that we're in right now is going to be a pivotal year. There are all kinds of things going on. I'm telling you, there are intrigues, and some of this will come out in the message, but I am greatly moved in the Spirit, and I feel an urgency such as I have never felt before. And I want to tell you that there is a focal point for all this trouble. There will be, and as I just read this verse, there will be a great battle, a great war, with all the nations involved. Now, we've had two world wars so far. And after the Second World War, there was an organization formed called the United Nations. The charter for it was drawn up in San Francisco. And of course, they flew it to New York and then on to Washington, D.C. The only two senators that voted for it were the two that read it. But then somehow they got this thing through, and Rockefeller donated the land on the East River in New York City, an area that used to be called it was the largest slaughterhouse in the world. It was called Blood Alley, because more animals died there than anywhere else, a big slaughter area. That is the tract of land that the UN sits on right now. They said the ground was so soaked with blood that it actually had changed the color of it. And it was a place where they put up this big monstrosity, 39 levels in the Secretariat building, and built on 11 acres of land by 11 architects. That's that Aquarian number. 11, of course, is the 11th. The 11th sign of the zodiac is Aquarius. They go by all this stuff. I had somebody write to me one time. They said, why do you mention astrology and planets doing this and all that? And what does that have to do with anything? And I tell them, as far as I'm concerned, nothing. Because I don't believe in it. I used to be an astrologer when I was in the occult before the Lord saved me. But they believe in it. And I must point that out. They pattern their activities accordingly. That's all I'm doing. When I mention things like that, I'm saying, look, this is what they believe. They're going to push in that direction. They plan things accordingly. We went into Iraq. We went in on a witch's Sabbath, Ostara. When we declared victory, it was the following May 1st, Beltane, another witch's Sabbath. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. And we know that the very presidents of the United States, various different ones, going all the way back, I can think of Roosevelt was very much into the occult. Even Teddy Roosevelt was. He kept a horoscope right in the Oval Office, right on the wall, to keep track of everything. Nancy Reagan said that Ronald Reagan never made a decision without consulting an astrologer. Now, how is that any different from the kings of Babylon who called their soothsayers? I want to tell you something. You may not like it, but the United States of America is the scriptural Babylon. It is Babylon, and it is scheduled for great judgment. A nation that murders babies by the millions and says, that's all right. A nation that has become so perverse that its appetite for the ungodly things knows no bounds. And God has a way of coming in and showing His people that so they know and know what to expect. And I'll be coming back again to some of that later. I'm trying to lay a foundation here this morning. But Armageddon is a real place. The plain of Esdraelon. The hills and the valley of Jehoshaphat. It's also called. Armageddon is a real place, Megiddo. And if you look at the focal point of all the trouble in this world, it's over there in the Middle East. And everything seems to be moving in one direction. Because prophecy must be fulfilled. Now, I know and you know that salvation doesn't come from Judaism. It comes from Jesus Christ. It could never come from a rebuilt temple because Jesus is the temple. But prophecy must run its course, and God said there would be a great gathering of all the nations in that place, and there would be a final, short-lived world war, a World War III. We know World War I was started by the assassination of the Archduke of Austria, Franz Ferdinand, at Sarajevo in what is now, what used to be Yugoslavia. of course, that's been divided up into various segments. But that was the start of World War I, and the world looked in awe and wonder, how can everybody be fighting like this? Did not the Lord say, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, but the end is not yet? And then the Second World War came, and it happened all over again. And yet, the world didn't end. Everything was being aligned, set up a certain way. And now, it's happening again. We know that we just put up a big missile shield in Poland. Russia said that if Ahmadinejad, isn't that a tongue twister? of Iran, his name looks like the bottom line on the eye chart. Ahmadinejad, of course, is threatening, his goal is to destroy the state of Israel. That's his purpose, he stated that. He's very, very much like Adolf Hitler. In fact, the number one best-selling book in Iran today is Mein Kampf. Did you know that? And that is, these people are stirred up because they're on a mission. Prophecy must be fulfilled. And that's why you're going to see judgment on Babylon, as we will read shortly. And armies gathered together, a focal point will be the Middle East. And of course, one of the big driving forces there is oil. Oil, right? And all the different altercations and battles and things going on regarding that, because there is such a gluttony for prosperity. And oil actually represents prosperity. Of course, you run it in your vehicles and heat things with it and do all kinds of things with oil. Oil, through fractional distillation, becomes many different products, all of them in high demand, not only by people of the United States, but now there is a middle class that has risen up in China and India, and they are demanding more and more. They've got new cars they're driving around in, and they're building new roads. Those nations are all being built up at the expense of the United States. The wealth has flowed out of this country and has gone east. Gone east. Brother John, gone east. And there in India and in China, they are making high demands on food, fuel, all these things, and driving the prices up, up, and up. They said this year, food prices, by the end of the year, will almost double in the United States. Now, what are people going to do? All of these things must come to pass, the Word of God tells us. Now, I read the first two verses that I was going to start out with here, but we're going to go back for a moment to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew, we're going to start in verse 27 and go down to 33. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I know there are those that embrace this doctrine of a secret rapture, which I don't find anywhere in the Word of God. And if you read the Bible, you won't find it. It's not there. We will be caught up at the end. When? The Bible tells us. At the seventh trumpet. How many trumpets are there? Seven. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when will the Lord come? At the last trump. It's simple math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. At the end. But they got people believing, oh, before anything happens, you're going to live this life of luxury. The televangelists will feed you. You can give them all your money, and they'll keep a smile on your face because they're going to tell you that you're going to be zipped out of here before anything happens. And so you try to preach Bible prophecy to people. They don't want to hear it because they say, what do I care? I won't be here anyway. I'll be up in heaven's dining room, pigging out. So what do I care? No, the Word of God tells us quite the contrary. Watch this now. We'll read.
He says in verse 28, oh, I like that analogy in 27 too about lightning, because as I've mentioned before a number of times, that the one thing about lightning is when it goes streaking across the sky, and if you and I were standing out there, several of us just talking, I'll guarantee you this, everybody would stop, the conversation would end, and everybody would look. One of those big bolts, I'm talking about a humdinger now, flying across the sky, rattling the sky, thunderclap, bang, you would stop and look. And that's why the Lord used that analogy, because when He comes again, everybody's going to know it. There's no secret snatching away of people, and people looking around, oh, there's a little pile of clothes there, where did they go? Oh, it must be that secret rapture. You know, the movies, and they dramatize this. Did you ever notice that those old movies like Distant Thunder, Thief in the Night, and all that, Hal Lindsey stuff, they always got, the man's always left behind. The women go. Heaven will be full of women. All the men must go to hell. Or have to get their head chopped off or something. It's always the mother and the children are gone. So the father comes home and he looks and, huh? Oh, it's that rapture she told me about. There's the piles of clothes on the floor by the shoes and they're gone. Oh, what am I going to do? You've seen them or heard of them, haven't you? All of that comes from the doctrine of dispensationalism. Just isn't so. When the Lord comes again, everybody's going to know it. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They say, oh, no, there's two comings, see? One is kind of halfway, and then He finishes it later. Where does it say that? What kind of a doctrine would that be? You know, the Bible doesn't teach it. Now, He says, for wheresoever, this again, Matthew 24, verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That actually comes from a Hebrew idiom, which means where there's fire, there's fire. When you see the signs, you know it's upon you. And isn't it true if you see smoke? Well, something's burning somewhere. That's what He's talking about there. Immediately, watch this now, immediately, it doesn't say before, does it say immediately before the tribulation? Or does it say after? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. People say, I get letters once in a while, when is the tribulation? Hey, wake up, smell the roses, you're in it. How do I know? And how about Satan being loosed for a little season? He's been loosed. What is the sign that Satan has been loosed? He goes out to gather it together, a one world government, to unite all the nations. We need to learn how to read that, folks. Satan was bound at Calvary. The strong man had to be bound, folks, for his house to be spoiled. If you think that Satan isn't bound to later on, then that nullifies the entire act of Calvary that Jesus did there. He bound the strong man, which is Satan, and spoiled his house, and led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men, made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. Come on. And Satan was bound at Calvary. But he has been loosed for a little season. And he is marshaling the forces of this world right now. And I'm going to tell you this. It isn't a matter of who's the enemy anymore. You know, with World War I, World War II, we said, well, yeah, you know, we know who the enemies were. Oh, Kaiser Bill went up the hill of France. Kaiser Bill came down the hill with bullets in his pants. You know who the enemy was, see? World War II, it was little Adolf. Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. Right? Der Dritte Reich wird 1,000 Jahre dauern. Huh? Third Reich will last 1,000 years. Has a little Schnurrbart there, you know. Demanding this and that. But they said Hitler was for peace. And he was. A piece of France, a piece of the Sudetenland, a piece of Poland, a piece of everything. He wanted it. But we know that he came forth as a great type of Antichrist, and that you knew who the enemy was. Of course, Italy joined in, Japan, Of course, they had the emperor worship there, the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere. They called that Japanese influence. All of that was set up and done by design. World wars don't just happen to happen. They are manufactured by treaties. A treaty is a plan for the next war. A treaty lays out all the facts that if this nation is going to invade this one, then that one will come to their aid, and that one will come to their aid. And it isn't two nations anymore. They brought the whole works together. Now, they say we're in another great war of terror, but we don't really know who the enemy is. These are days of ambiguity. Who is the enemy? Is it the Muslims? Well, I'll tell you, they've got one terrible religion based on bloodshed, and for a lot of other reasons, that, you know, they don't believe in the Son of God. That Dome of the Rock Mosque over there, it says right on that big building, God has no son. And now you've got a man running around all over the country who wants to be the president, who is a closet Muslim. He joined the United Church of Christ so they could say he's a Christian. But you can say anything. How many people running around out there say they're a Christian are Christians? What does the word mean? Christ-like. He doesn't strike me as Christ-like. I'll tell you that right now. Pro-abortion, pro-everything ugly. And Hillary would be no improvement. You don't want her either. So now it's narrowing down. McCain looks like they're pushing him, and it is a mess, I'm telling you. I don't know how long it'll be, but it can't be long until our Lord comes. But Barack Hussein Obama wants to be the president, and he's getting the backing of a lot of people. Now they're presenting him in the press as another John Kennedy with that youthful appearance. I'll tell you, he is no John Kennedy. But that's how they're presenting him. And they're making an issue out of it. Look, we'll give you a choice here of either a black or a woman. And I'm not a racist. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I'm not opposed to women. I'm just saying this whole thing is set up by Illuminism because this country is about to go down and we happen to be caught right in the middle of it as the last generation before the return of our Lord. Here we are. What are we going to do about it? As David said in the Psalms, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy name and Thy face, O Jacob. This is the generation of them that seek Him. We better be that generation that seeks Him because we need Him, and you need Him, and I need Him more than we could ever possibly know. But the Word of God tells us, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. You know, right now we've got a satellite heading toward us. They got all these spy satellites up there. And of course, the way it's set up now, you know, they've got you can get in your car and it'll give you directions right where to turn and map everything out for your whole trip. They got cars now that'll parallel park themselves. Did you know that? Just tell a car, park, and it pulls up to the next available space, hands off the wheel, it just backs in nicely and lines you up. Some people think, wow, is that neat? You know what? We better watch out because they have such high-tech things going on. You become nothing more than an interfaced peripheral of a computer system. Did you know that? Did you know that right now, I ran this off this morning, but right now there is a company called Somark. Notice they got a field full of cows there. And of course the days of running a tag through the cow's ear is ending. Somark, now we've all heard of the chip. The microchip that they can insert, they put it in animals and animals have developed cancer from it. And there are over 2,000 people have been microchipped already. And what drives the power inside of the microchip is formic acid, which is the same substance that is in the venom of fire ants. Can you imagine if there's ever a problem with that thing, the sore that would break out? But now they've gone one step further. course, that RFID chip, you know, that radio frequency device interfaced with satellites, information to be sent to the computers. You know, we are living in a panopticon, folks. I told a bank vice president down in Madison the other day, that's what we're living in, a panopticon. She said, what is that? And I said, a panopticon means you are constantly being watched, but you don't know who's watching you. All you know is you're being watched. And she kind of looked at me, oh, you know. And we talked a little bit about the economy, and along with a few others, and this one banker looked at me and said, I'm scared. Because they know what's coming. But anyway, this company called Somark, and I realize a lot of people wouldn't want to go in and get a chip. They got that needle they put it in with. It's pretty big. And just shove that in there. So what they have done now is there's a company called Somark, and their emblem, the O there, is an image of the sun with rings around it. Very occult looking. And they have developed an ink that does the same thing. And they put an invisible tattoo on you containing all the information about you, your bank accounts, your where you were born, everything, your whole dossier is all on your hand in an invisible tattoo that doesn't need to be scanned at any close range. It's a proximity tattoo. If you're within 4 feet of any reader, it will respond. You can walk up to a vending machine and just wave your hand in front of it, and your whatever you're getting will come out. You go to the bank, it's all done with your hand. No more checks, no more cash, no more plastic cards. You become a walking checkbook, bank book, whatever. It's all in your body. You are a biometric example of a little portion of the beast system. And they've developed this, and they've tested it on animals, and it works. And they said you can read it right through the fur, right through the hair. They put it on cows. That's what they designed it for first. Matter of fact, I did a little checking on it, and there's a little article here. It says, St. Louis, Missouri. This is from KWMU. It's a television station in St. Louis. A St. Louis startup company is turning heads with its recipe for success. Take one of those gadgets that millions of drivers have in their cars and lets them make drive-through at toll booths and make automatic payments. Now take the microchip and the antenna from one of those gadgets and shrink them so they're small enough to inject under the skin like a tattoo. You've just made a new kind of tattoo identification, and it's being used on cows right now. As a matter of fact, in the RFID journal, they talk about it also. Next, they want to use it on soldiers so that they can keep track of them and how they're doing. If they get lost in battle or captured, they can find them right away. Of course, they're going to say, bring your children. You know who does this? The Masons. They get together at schools and places, and they do all this fingerprinting and all that. What's coming? Here's a painless, harmless little tattoo for your children. If anybody abducts them or they're gone somewhere, you don't know where they are, we can find them instantly. We can find the street corner they're on, the house they're in. We can know it instantly. How many people are going to think that's a wonderful thing? They'll present it as the virtues of it. But you no longer have privacy or a life of your own. It's gone completely. And I told this to some people, and they said, oh, that sounds wonderful. People that don't know the Lord. And I said, yeah, but look at this way. Who is in control? If the wrong people get in control, and they already are in it, but the wrong people got in control, they've got you right where they want you. And you can't buy or sell anything if you don't have that tattoo. And that is put under the skin. You can't get it off. I talked to a friend of mine from Montreal who is from Greece. He's a native Greek man, and he's still in continual contact with his friends over there and family over there. And he told me, he sent me some information, some radio transcripts from Greece. And the Greek government recently had a big display of, it was like a computer show thing, run by the government. And they said, we now have the power to give life, real life, to the computer. It's not going to be a machine anymore. Now, what's he saying? People are going to be attached to it, constantly feeding their information, every transaction they make, every bill they pay, everything, all the money they get, everything. It's all going to be a part of the big master system. And by the way, we've got one of those in the Reagan Triangle over there, Federal Triangle, the Reagan building over in Washington, D.C. It was installed in the year 2000. That's what they were up to. They were bringing a whole new system in and instantly switching it over so everything wouldn't go down, but because they were about to take over. Isn't that an amazing thing? And then, when you think about the... Remember, anybody remember back to the year 2000? It's not that long ago. Remember in 1999, that night, I watched it myself. On the Washington Monument, they had the big numbers up there, 1999, in red. You might say, what's so unusual about that? It's the year. Then they had the reflecting pool, which stretches out from there, and you could see the reflection of the 1999, but every camera was angled so that all you could see was an upside-down mirror image in the reflecting pool of three nines, which is 666. And then the president at the time, one Bill Clinton, said at midnight there's going to be a surprise to the entire nation. When they started that computer going in Washington, D.C., that Washington Monument had lights starting at the base of the monument, that obelisk, 550 feet high, and with the amount that the undergirding and foundation down below, from bottom of that to the top of the peak, that's quite a piece of masonry, isn't it? Quite a piece of masonry. And it's 666 feet from bottom to top, if you count the amount that's in the ground. And I went up in that monstrosity, and I went to the Masonic gift shop up there. Every lodge in the country has a stone in that monument. And I went up into that gift shop, and I knew they wouldn't have it. I said, I'm looking for a book called Morals of a Dog. And, Morals and Dogma. And, I made my point. But, of course, they didn't have one for sale. That's an esoteric book. Has to be returned to the lodge upon the death of the recipient. But I have two copies that I was able to get a hold of. Dr. Albert Pike, the famous founder of the Scottish Rite degrees, right? The only general in the history of the world to lose with superior forces at the Battle of Pea Ridge in the Civil War. But here we look at this transition point. That night, everything changed. You see, the Washington Monument is a filthy symbol, comes from Egypt, and represents the reproductive portion of the sun god Baal. That's what it represents. I know some people get mad at me when I tell them that, but it's a fact. And with all of this light pulsating all around it and everything, and they had the fireworks going up that thing. It was what they were doing is bringing about a spiritual conception in our country. And sure enough, 9 months later, isn't that the gestation period? In September, on Labor Day, everybody, 156 nations, got together at the United Nations and pledged their support for a one-world government on that day. And I was there. I've got a picture of it. Now, it's kind of interesting because in August of last year, by the way, Wall Street is going down the drain. I'm full of good news today, huh? It's literally going down the drain. We know that the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank owned by 13 people who refuse to tell who they are, and they don't even live in this country, they're in England. Did you know that? Did you know that when the Federal Reserve System was set up at the Jekyll Island Hunt Club And they had all these people, and Senator Nelson Aldrich, the uncle of Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller, was the one who orchestrated this whole thing. When they set that up, they set it up with three different types of stock: Class A, Class B, and Class C. Class A belonged to 13 people. We still don't know who they are. Class B to all the member banks. Class C, anybody could buy it. Where do I get it? You could get rich in a game like that. Where do you get a Class C Federal Reserve System stock? Nobody has ever bought any. Something wrong somewhere, right? Now, with Wall Street, they've reduced the, lowered the prime rate, the interest rate, and of course the rediscounting rate with it, has gone down 0.75% 1 week. 10 days later, goes down another 0.5 point. They keep lowering it, just like in 1929. Remember that year? The Great Depression? They kept lowering it, and they lowered it down to where it was zero. Where do you go? You can't go below zero. Then, the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, the Warburgs, all these money people, Kuhn Loeb, they pulled their money all out of the American banks. The banks had to call in all their loan money. The call money came in, and we had a depression. The pattern is the same, identical pattern right now, folks. And the government, in order to just prolong it a little bit, pumped countless billions of dollars into Wall Street. And people say, well, that saved it. They turned on the money pumps. But it's call money. They put the, if you look at it, most people don't look, they put that those billions of dollars in on a temporary basis. They're going to have to call it back. And when they call it back, the bottom falls out. They can call it back anytime they want to call it back. Why are they doing this? They are purposely destroying. They're not stupid. They're devious. They're purposely destroying the economy of the United States to bring forth a new government. Because if you read your history books and study history, no government has ever outlived its economy in all the history of the world. If the economy goes, the government goes, a new one comes up with a new money system, and this one's going to be strictly electronic. And when they cancel all currency and cancel everything else, you've got no choice but to get that little tattoo, or you can't buy or sell anything. No wonder my bird was saying, trouble, 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 trouble for the people. He lives with me. No, there's a positive side to all of this. God's going to take care of us. If you don't believe in miracles, you soon will. Come on. If you say, what am I going to do? You know, if people are dependent upon the government to sustain them, that's a false hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He made this world. He has all power. He will take care of us. I'm just saying, we see this coming on the horizon, and it's moving rapidly toward us. We must draw close to God now. He will sustain you because He is God. That's good enough for me. But anyway, all these Wall Street people, this last year they did something they never did before. You know, these executive, upper crust people. Upper crust. Remember this, the upper crust, don't think they're so wonderful. The upper crust is nothing more than a bunch of crumbs held together with a lot of dough. That's your upper crust. All right? Now, what they did is, last August, they all left Wall Street and they went to Reno, Nevada. Why? They sat in the desert. I ran this off. I realize people have a hard time believing some of these things. But they went to the desert near Reno to gather together for a ritual of what they call the Burning Man. Did you ever hear the Burning Man ritual? A 50-foot stick man with all this other stuff around it. And they sit there in psychedelic lights. And they have this thing go on. They burn this thing in the desert. Why would grown-up people do such a thing? Why would anybody? But what is that all about? I tell people over and over again, our country is run by occult power. It is Babylon. Our governors, our presidents, our senators hire psychics. Senator Claiborne Pell had a psychic on the payroll, federal payroll, for his entire tenure as senator. The one who's famous for the Pell Grants, you know. A paid psychic. You walk in, here's somebody that got a job there. What is your job? Oh, I'm a psychic. Working for the government. I'm a psychic. I'm a witch. Your tax money in action, right? Far-fetched? No, it's a reality. People are so unassuming, and they, you know, they just can't imagine anything being so bad or anybody being so diabolical. I was talking to a man one time about some of this, and he listened to the whole thing. He's one of the rare ones who will even listen. He said, "Boy, they're a dirty bunch." That was the reaction, a dirty bunch. Is there a devil? Does he have people? Does he have a plan? Is he working his plan? How about all the atrocities that have taken place? All the martyrs, all the victims of all types of Holocausts, all these different things that have gone on, all these years from Eden all the way to Armageddon, it's trouble, trouble, trouble. Man is born on the troubles, the sparks fly upward. Has anybody here had a life void of all trouble? Please raise your hand. I want to talk to you. It's the nature of this life. I've talked to people who have gone through sorrowful experience and say they would say, "But it's just not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair." Hey, don't look for fair in this world. But even in the good old US of A, we're fair here with everybody, aren't we? Don't we have a Justice Department? No, we don't. We have a Just Us Department. That's what they are. Just us. Certain elitists that control and run everything. And I'm, you know, you might say, isn't this a lot of politics today? Isn't it? What I'm doing is I'm relating the Word of God to the present situation that you're living in. That's what I'm doing. Let's bring it right close to home. This is what's going on around us. What is it all leading to? Oh, a great and glorious day. My great hope and expectation is to be with the Lord. That's what I'm living for, and that's what I'm willing to die for. How about you? And so, he says in verse 29, immediately after the... Is it that late already? 20 after 11? I can't believe it. Anyway, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Oh, I started to tell you about a satellite. I have to go back after things sometimes. There's a satellite up there coming down. They've lost control. They can't control it by computer anymore. It doesn't respond. It's loaded with a fuel that is deadly to the touch. They said it's going to hit. They know for sure it's going to hit somewhere in the United States. About the end of March. They don't know where. They're hoping it'll land in water. It won't do the water any good, though, will it? Remember the Bible says one day a great meteor, it doesn't say meteor, but a great star, could mean a lot of things, will fall from heaven and it'll poison the waters? If you read your Bible, you're going to find that it's more accurate than tomorrow's newspaper. And they say this thing's going to hit. Nobody knows where. Maybe God will have mercy on this one. But there are others up there. We got about 500 of them going around the world. Beep, 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 and sending signals. Because our Van Allen belt is all worn out. What you used to be able to do with radio signals, now you have to do by satellite. And people, they're so thankful for satellites because they got that dish attached to their house so they can pick up all 200 or 300 or 400 porno stations. How can you get a program, how can you get subscribed to something that has 150, 200 different selections? Wouldn't that drive you nuts? When I was a kid, it was Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 11, Green Bay. That was all there was. And, you know, and had that old television with that big knob on it, boom, 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 as you turn it, you know. Turn it on, you got to wait 2 minutes for it to warm up. Then after about midnight, you get this test pattern, you know, everything go off. Now they got to have it non-stop, everything, constantly, anything they want at the touch of a button. The world has changed. The internet. The what? The internet. The web.
Talk about a control device to destroy lives and get into people. You know what? And see, we're invading that territory right now because this is going on the internet.
It's all right to invade the devil's territory. Paul went into the market, the ungodly marketplaces back in his day and preached, didn't he? We're going on a big marketplace and let him have it. And I know a lot of people don't like it. So if anything ever happens to me, don't worry about it. We all got to check out sometime, and the retirement plan I'm in is marvelous. Praise the Lord. Now, internet, worldwide web. People sitting glued with their foreheads in front of the big eyeball with their right hand on the mouse. Tapping into www.this or www.that. And what is the sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet? Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Ha, Vav. It's hard to stop. Zigin, Yet, Tet, Yet, Yud, Kav, Lamed, Shin, Tav, so forth. Path, Sadi, Kufresh, Shin, Tav. But the sixth one is Vav, which is our equivalent of our W. So, three W's in Hebrew is 666. 666.com, 666.gov, 666.edu, 666 everywhere. With this web, this net, this right hand and forehead locked into the machine as it's programming your life. You smell a rat? A lot of people can't handle it. A lot of people are falling. Now, we'll invade that territory with this message of the gospel. I'll preach this anywhere the Lord directs me to do it. But now the Word of God tells us that after this happens, the powers of heaven are shaken. Oh, I was going to mention to you that God knows how to interrupt things too. Did you know that in the Middle East, the whole Middle East, the internet was shut down? Three different cables, underwater cables, were destroyed. Three separate incidents. And they keep having to fix it all the time. Who's in charge? The Lord can send a little quake through there and rip them in half if He wants to. So the Word of God says in verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn." I can see why, can't you? The righteous Savior coming into this mess? "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet." There it is. That's that last trumpet. "And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now notice something. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Did you know that in Luke 24 it says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, and you know what? They've more than begun. We're well into it. I've only got a few minutes left, and I'm only about half finished, so what I'm going to do is find a stopping point somewhere here and continue this next Sunday. Because it's going to be one of my... I used to do these fairly often. It's a two-part. If the Lord comes before then, it's over. So no guarantees. But I intend to finish this next time as the Lord helps me. But first of all, let's just draw this together for now. You will note that He gave a parable here of a fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Now, if you look at the fig tree, first of all, a fig tree is a representation of original Israel before Jesus came. Now, it's called the olive tree, right? The fig tree is still significant. Remember how Jesus said one time near the temple, he looked at a fig tree and said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." You know why? Because salvation doesn't come from Judaism. It comes from Jesus Christ. A new covenant was coming forth for Israel and for all the Gentiles. A new and living way. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Now, the fig tree mentioned here in prophecy would still be original Israel. When you see it bringing forth leaves, it never says fruit, does it? It says leaves. Because the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which all people, no matter who they are, Jews or Gentiles or anybody, must receive. God didn't develop any hatred for Israel, as some people say. He opened a new door for them and for all of us. As Simeon in the temple said, "Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Come on. But the fact is that that nation has produced leaves. It is the focal point right now of all world contention. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 12 that Jerusalem shall be a burdensome stone, and all they that burden themselves with it will be cut asunder. It's the place, the focal point of World War III, and it's coming. Russia said, "We will provide full air support to Iran." That's Russia. Vladimir Putin, or is it Rasputin? And the leaders of the state of Israel have recently been told, this is for the leaders now, they have been told, you need to build rocket shelters. They're starting to put them up right now, because there is going to be a hailstorm of rockets coming. Now, what do they know that they're not... Does the government ever know anything they're not telling you? Do they ever have cards they're not showing? Remember years ago during the Kennedy administration, there was a Pentagon press agent by the name of Arthur Sylvester. I'm an old man, right? I remember all these things. And Arthur Sylvester, the Pentagon press agent, said, "The government has the right to lie to the people." They've got that right to not tell you or to tell you something false. Doesn't that tell us something? Doesn't that cause a little daylight to filter through somewhere? There is one who we trust, and that is the Lord, and He's going to see us through all of this. Amen. They are planning World War III as I speak. And where is it planned? At 58 East 68th Street, on the Upper East Side, near the East River, in Manhattan, at a place called the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. And yes, it is there. I know, because they threw me out of their building 3 times. That's how I know it's there. They said not even the press is allowed in here. Well, you have to be a Henry Kissinger or one of these sort of guys to get in there. They're a private organization. They correspond with the Order of the Green Dragon in China, the Order of the Green Glove in Russia, the Black Hand Society that started World War I at Sarajevo. They're called by many different things, all of them controlled through the upper levels of Freemasonry. You know, I preached some of these things in New York City one time, the whole tri-state area, and the church I was at, they said the phone never stopped ringing for 3 days. People wanted to hear more. They want to hear it. What's going on? Nobody ever tells us anything. Do you ever feel like that? Keep them in the dark. Just give them what they're supposed to believe. That is why it's so urgent that we get in the Word of God and take this Word that I've been reading to you and apply it to today. Apply it to the events you see. When people say, what's this world coming to? You can tell them. To an end. Oh, what are we going to do? Well, you've got a choice. You can come to God. You can submit to Him. Let Him save your soul. Or you can go to hell. But one way or another, it's coming. We're not saved through a church. We're saved by Jesus Christ. I don't care what you think you can join. You can't join your way into heaven. You get there by the blood. People say, I'm secure. I'm a member of such and such church. I signed the little book. I shook the preacher's hand. You might as well write your name on the barn door and shake the donkey's tail. For all the good that's going to do you. It'll get you nowhere. The power of salvation comes from the throne of God, the blood of the Savior from heaven straight down to your heart. Religion gets in the way. I tell people, this isn't a religion. We have no membership. This is people that really are serious about God gathering together to worship, and that's the only kind of people I want around here. The time is at hand. From Eden to Armageddon. I'll have to finish it next time. We're just playing out of time. We're going to run out of tape pretty soon. And I want to get all of this on there. But it's urgent, folks. God will help you. It's a tough message for a lot of people. Because it seems so unreal. Because they're so full of the world. That it would seem that way. I mean, this is really coming? Pick up the paper. Look at the news. Turn it on. Listen to what they're telling you. Not what they want you to believe. Just listen to the event. You know what? A real newspaper should only be about one page long. Just list what happened. Don't tell me what you think. I'll figure that out from the Word of God. We don't need editorials. Editorials are analyses that are written by people who are of an entirely different mindset. Just tell me what happened and I'll line it up with the Word of God. That's what we need. But folks, there is one way to deal with this. And that is to give your heart and mind completely to God. Dig in your heels and get ready for quite a ride. Because people are going to speak evil against you. People are going to cut you off. They're not going to like what... And that's going to intensify. Because you won't fit in with this world. And isn't that a grand thing when you think about it? I told somebody one time, they said, who are you going to vote for? And I said, I'm going to vote in a closet of prayer. They said, what if everybody did that? I said, what if everybody did that? Do you think, what if, I mean everybody, do you realize what would happen if everybody called upon God? I think you'd see some streaks of fire coming out of the sky, taking a few of these guys out. Including that, and we leave that up to God, but including that wicked witch of the West. She's, you know, she is still mad ever since that house fell on her sister. But anyway, we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you and all of us can call upon Him right now. And the Bible says, and you're going to see this next Sunday, if we get that far, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Next Sunday, I'd like to go back into the book of Joel and show you prophecies there and merge them in with the rest of what we didn't finish in Matthew. And then there's more in Revelation 16, a lot more. And you're going to see the sequence of all of this and how it falls into place. I don't know why God's having me do this, other than that the time is very short and He wants us to direct our thoughts on His coming. Amen. So, with that thought in mind, let's have prayer. Dear Father in heaven, O Lord, this is such an awesome thing that we're going through. We know that Thy coming is at the very doors. And we know, Lord, that all those things that were promised are a reality. These things must come to pass. But thy coming also is at the very doors, O Lord, and so we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. For thou hast given us thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, even the earnest of our inheritance. And Lord, I pray that thou wouldst establish us in thy word. Let nothing shake us. No matter what people say or do, or how they hate us or come against us, or whatever we go through in this world, help us to be true to thy saving blood and to thy cross. O Lord, let us draw nigh unto thee with true hearts. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we look to thee now for thy help. Let every one of thy people in this building, those that are listening on the internet, those that will get these recordings all over this whole wide world, let them be touched and drawn unto thee and come to repentance, that they would literally cry out to thee, O God, and that thou wouldst fill them with the Holy Ghost is our prayer. Let salvation come quickly to the remaining remnant, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.